Romans chapter 8. All right, and you know, a lot of times we talk about the law, and when we talk about the law, 9 times out of 10 we're thinking of the written law. We're talking about the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments obviously is more than 10, and is the whole Old Testament, really. But particularly in Romans 6, 7, and 8, there are different references. One of them here is in Romans 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, where is it located? In Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so there's your liberty. Not liberty to do anything. It's freedom from the house of bondage. Okay? You see that? That's important. But it comes by a law, but it's the law of the Spirit of life. It's not a law written, down or a code or this sort of thing. It relates to the Spirit of life that's in Christ and therefore ours. All right. So we'll try to read a little bit because I really do have a way to go here. In the higher view of things, God's spiritual law, of which the nature of man is in violation, because he's another kind, man's nature is in violation of this spiritual law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's not a moral law, this law of the Spirit of life. It's not a moral law as in ethics. It is a law of nature. God's nature, God's kind. The purpose of the written law is to show a person that the law of his kind or nature is of another kind than that of the Lord. In other words, we need to see that we don't just sin. That's fine, but that's what most people see. All they see is I sin or I fail. They don't see that the reason why you sin and fail is because there is another kind or another nature at work in you. And this is the reason why we should conform to Christ. This is the reason why we're not just saved by Christ. I mean, he could have saved us, died, rose from the dead, sat up there in heaven and said, okay, I'll send you everything you need. But he's in every one of us. He's in us. But the in us there, folks, is really his nature. It's not just some, I always picture, a little room in your heart and a little table and a little chair, and Jesus is sitting at that little table, and a little chair, and he goes, I'm here when you need me. That's the way most Christians kind of treat him. He's not sitting at a little table. He's either your nature or you're living by your own life and your own spirit, your own nature. The goal, therefore, is not to make man moral. The goal is not to make man moral, but to have the same nature or be of the same kind as God. Okay, what will that result in? There will be morality, but it's morality by means of nature. Christ in you, not just coming up with the right things and saying, I'll do it, Lord. No, you won't. You'll try. All right. Redeeming man from hell or from the consequences of his sins does not affect the kind of change that God wants. It brings about changes, but not the kind of change, because the kind of change deals with bringing you out of the house of bondage kind of person into oneness with Christ. Therefore, those things are only the result. And they are a result. I mean, there are, again, that's that automatic thing. You flip the switch, the light comes on. The more you grow in the reality of Christ, and Christ, John said it like this, he must increase and I must decrease. What does that mean? What does that mean? He must increase and I must decrease. Well, guess what? That's talking about personally in us as, you know, as life. Yeah, Robert, did you have a comment or you just? Okay. All right. The emancipation that is most needed is from himself. John and I talked about this the other day. But don't just take that personally. The emancipation you need is from yourself as known as being in this other kind. That's what you need. You need to leave the house of bondage and come into what is the Lord. Innate within the kind that Jesus is liberty. Well, what does that mean? I mean, we can say, you know, folks, I'm sure you've been to churches where somebody will say something like that and everybody will just shout. You know, and I've done conferences with thousands of people and I would make a statement like that and they would just start shouting, yeah, amen, amen, amen. And I say, oh, quiet down. What does that mean? And they go, you could see them going, well, I don't know, but it sounds good. It makes me happy to say it. What? You know? What does that mean? Innate within the kind that Jesus is liberty. Liberty by means of what? By his nature. Because when there's a death with Christ at the cross and the old kind is put away, there's a resurrection and the new kind becomes our life. And therefore, you are liberated from the pulls of that kind. By what? By Christ. By him. Because he doesn't have those pulls. In fact, I think I said it here. So He can be about, through us, about righteousness and patience and humility and self-giving and all those things through us. What I can't do, he not only can do, but he is in us. So it can be said that those of this kind are slaves to righteousness. Anybody heard that phrase anywhere before? Anybody recognize that phrase? Well, it's in Romans 6, and the last part of Romans 6 is just full of this. I mean, it is just full of it, and it's just giving you two different kinds. And it's saying, you know, well, when you're, you know, with Jesus, then you're free from sin. Well, but when you were with the old nature, you were free from righteousness. Remember all that? Now, but it says, now you are servants whom ye obey. But the obedience isn't, yes, Master, it is yielding your members to that nature. This is all, it's all Romans. It says it better than I could say it. But instead of just reading it here, I would really love for you to go, you know, I want to know this. And he's giving me a real area where I can dig around in it and see this reality. So the last statement was, so it can be said that those who of this kind are slaves to righteousness, meaning he does his thing in you. And everyone in this room, everybody on Skype, you've experienced this sort of thing where you get in a situation, maybe you're facing a situation, you think, man, I am going to let them have it or something. You get in there and Christ comes out of you and you just kind of go, wow, I wasn't expecting that. You know what I mean? You go, I wasn't expecting that. Well, maybe we should start expecting it since he's our life. You know, and not just expecting it, how about depending on it? And not getting into situations and saying, well, I'm not going to be angry or I'm not going to be this or I'm not going to do that or I'm whatever. But preparing yourself as you're going to face that situation saying, Jesus, you are my life. And I want to glorify you by exercising faith in this reality and trusting you to fulfill the law, if you will. His nature is the fulfillment of it. Love. God is love. All right. So they're bound by the law of their kind. And folks, everybody's bound by the law of their kind. And again, people, each individual, while we all have the fallen nature, if we're of that kind, each individual has free will to choose more good off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or less good, or good for a while and then bad, evil for a while, or, you know, there's so many combinations, you know what I mean? So many combinations. And we each individually think we're different because of that, you know? I mean, we think, well, I choose this, but you choose that, so we're all different, you know? And, you know, I remember when I was a hippie but saved, you know, a Jesus freak. And I remember looking at some of the people in the traditional church and thinking, golly, they just seem bound to me. They just seem all wrapped up, you know, and stuff. And the Lord just explained to me. He said, you know, you think you're different. You think you're different than everybody else, and therefore you think you're special. He said, but everybody, he said, well, everybody that exists is the same. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be comfortable. Nobody wants any problems. Da 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 da. You know what I mean? You start naming off the basic characteristics of this kind, Adam, this nature. And you find out, you know what? We're really all alike. on those points. But God gives us enough freedom where we can change it up, change our hair, change, wear whatever clothes we want, and we go, see, I'm really different than everybody else, you know? All right. So, and so the same thing is true of Adam. Innate within the kind that Adam is a tendency toward seeking your own desires, lust, self-interest, and sins of every kind. All right. Now, I want to make a point, so I'm going to go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to show you another reality in relationship to this thing of kind. The first difference is what we've been talking about between these two kinds. So we got Adam and Christ. Adam represented in a box. He's a square. Jesus represented by a circle. Eternity. Infinity. All right. So you have Adam and Christ, but you have within them the whole of human race. You're either in one or the other. And, of course, 1 Corinthians 15 what is it, 22, for as in Adam all die, but so in Christ all are made alive. That's not where I want to go, but that's showing you that there's two different kinds, and what we've seen is the leanings of Adam go in different directions, you know, and the leanings of Christ go in, you know, I'll just draw it like that to give you the idea. The leanings of Christ go in other directions. He tends toward selflessness, not thinking of himself first, not putting himself first. Okay? We, in this kind that we are, tends to think of ourselves. That's the first thing we do. And so when we enter a room, well, how's this, what's going to bless me? You know, I only want to talk to people that are going to make me feel good, you know, and you know, it's uncomfortable to talk with so-and-so. So, you know, they end up never getting talked to. You know what I mean? Excuse me while I... All right. But the verses I want to really point out is Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. However, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. And particularly verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. I don't want to just talk about the leanings here, but how this kind that is Adam and this kind that is Christ, how they are constituted, how this reality is constituted for us. And particularly verse 47 is giving that way that it is constituted for us. Adam's kind, according to this, belongs to, it has a universal trait within this fallen race. So that you're part of Adam, if you're not born again. And you have that universal trait in you, and that trait is, it tends toward sin, it tends towards self, it tends towards this, it tends towards that. But Jesus, his kind, and here we go, so listen carefully. Adam has a universal trait that's in all of us, but Jesus' kind is specific to him alone. You have to be in him. He is not going to give you these things. They're specific to him alone. He does away with all the groups. There's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew, Gentile. He does away with all the groups, and Christ is all and in all. That's now your life. Not that you're, a male or a female, or you're a Jew or a Gentile, or, it doesn't mean that that's not, that outwardly that's not what you are, but that's not what constitutes you. Christ is now all and in all. Christ is what is constituted in the mind of God. Okay, now what is the difference again? All right. Try to make sure that we see this. With Adam, you put the whole race, in him. And therefore, each of these squares is individuals that have that trait, that selfish, self-centered nature. And you can draw 80 billion of those little squares in Adam, and they're all people individually, like in this room or wherever. And if they're not born again, they all have that trait, and how they allow that trait to move and work through them is different, but it's all a basic trait. But Jesus is totally constituted different. He doesn't give you a unselfish trait. He gives you himself. All right, let's see it in this verse. The first man is of, it's verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. If it was the same, folks, it would say the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the heaven, heavenly. I mean, think about it. It's an interesting little verse there, because it is saying that the trait is within Adam, and it's also in all of the progenitor or the generation of Adam. And it comes out in form of trait. But God doesn't give you a trait in Christ. He doesn't constitute Christ the same way, and he doesn't constitute your relationship with Christ the same way as he did the first Adam. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and every one of these are of the earth, earthy, and they have that trait that tends towards that. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. Period. The new man, anybody familiar with the term? New man There he is, right there. There he is. And so, maybe I should make sure I read some of this to make sure we get it. Righteousness and holiness and love, all of those things. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Over in Ephesians, it says, He is our peace. In Hebrews, it says, we have become partakers of His holiness. Listen to the wording of those things. And when you really listen, and I don't mean just listen. I mean listen for the voice of God to explain it, you realize that all of those things are things of Christ. In fact, I've got it written right here. Those things, righteousness, I'm looking for holiness, love, peace, all of those things, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, all of those things that He says I am, they are absolutely inseparable from Him. Say it back to me. They are absolutely inseparable from Him. They are unable to consist apart from Him. That's... In other words, if Jesus pulled righteousness out of His heart and said, here, and gave it to you, it couldn't subsist, it couldn't survive outside of Him. Because it is Him. So He couldn't pull righteousness out and give it to you on that front. These qualities do not join to us. We join to the Him within whom they are innate and exclusive. The second man is the Lord from heaven. It's not a heavenly man made heaven. It is Him. You know, the angel said to Mary, that thing that's in you, you call it Jesus. Don't call it Christianity. Don't call it righteousness. Don't call it this. You call it Jesus. And the Spirit of God says that to us today because we're just like she was going to bring forth Christ into the earth. That's what we're the bride of Christ, supposed to be bringing forth of His seed and His nature into the earth. All right, so participation into Him is our only hope for any of this. Gosh, I just want to just say it again, even though we don't have much time. These, I call them personal qualities and characteristics, they are personal qualities and characteristics of God. We see them, we hear about them, we read about them, and we think, for the Jews, it wasn't God. It was commanded of God, but it, for them to be that was not Christ in them. And that's why there was so much failure and rebellion and stuff like that. Yes. That's it.
He's saying that there, and so then he gets kind of rough. He says, look, if any preach another gospel than this, than Him.
Right.
Because that's what was happening. They were reverting back to that time that they had been redeemed from.
And they really were. I mean, that's Galatians, and that's also Hebrews, is to go back under the law. It really is to go back to the kind that sets about. It is one of those little squares that is trying to overcome its trait, but it's leaving Christ, and that's what you're saying. It's leaving. You've left Christ.
It's trying to relate to God instead of relating in Christ.
Yeah, That's right. Trying to relate to God than relating in Christ. But they were Jews, you know, and they certainly in the book of Hebrews, and that's all they knew. And the writer is telling them, you need to know Christ. Look at the book of Hebrews. What is it all about? Everything is Christ. Well, okay, let's bring up this. It's Christ. Well, let's bring up this. That's Christ. Let's bring up this. It's Christ. Well, what about this? It's Christ. You think I'm bad? You know? These guys were much worse than me. Oh, good. We're getting close here. So there's a difference between Redeemer and redemption. He's made unto us redemption, right? Redemption truths. He's made unto us redemption. So there's a difference between him being the Redeemer and being our redemption. Is that not something that our little mind should probe and say, Lord, open the spirit of my understanding to see that? Because if we only grasp... Again, listen, if we only grasp that he's our Redeemer, then it's just a work that he did. And it's not possible for him to be our redemption by work. He can only be our Redeemer. Think about it. It's not possible that he can be our redemption if it's just about a work that he did. He's strictly our Redeemer. But you find out, you know, in the early going, it seemed like they were emphasizing that he was our Redeemer. But as you get into it and Paul begins to write and stuff, all of a sudden this new emphasis begins to be placed on, you know what? He's not just our Redeemer. He is our redemption, meaning the key out of the house of bondage, out of the nature that tends that direction, is Christ's nature within us. He's my redemption. See? He's my liberty. Yes. Amen. Amen. And you know, if Christ is not our life, if we're not a partaker of Christ in a very real way, then there really is no positive freedom from the house of bondage. You're still in bondage to it. It may not show up every day. It may show up every month or every year. But and the bad thing is that then it proves that all of this is just theoretical. Because he has to be your life. You have to be a partaker of Christ for this to be what it is. This, I am your redemption. I am your key out of the house of bondage. Now, Israel never saw it like that. They didn't. They just saw God as Redeemer. Can I get amen on that? They saw God as Redeemer. But that was just a shadow and a very poor picture. Don't you believe that that the real ought to be more vibrant and alive than a shadow? You know? Well, it was a very poor picture of the reality of Christ. All right, so 2 Peter 1:4 says, well, you know what? Let's just turn there. I'm sorry I'm going so fast, but I just... want to make sure. This is 2 Peter, 1st chapter, and verse 4. Okay. By which are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Okay, a couple of things there. One is the word partaker. Remember our first verse in Hebrews in our last class that we started with? It was Hebrews 3 and verse 14. And it says, for you, you will become partakers of Christ if you hold fast your confidence, steadfast to the end. This is about partakers, not doctrine believers. And I'm just going to say this. Folks, you can make in Christ and Christ in you and all this stuff doctrines. Did you know that? It could just become doctrines. And you can make that a doctrine. I want to be a partaker of Christ in a real way. I don't want this to be theoretical and therefore somebody thinks I'm deep. I don't even care if people think. I don't want them to think I'm deep. I just want Jesus. And the Jesus that I see when I get into the Word, I want to share with people if it's real. All right, so he's talking about becoming a partaker, okay, of what? The divine nature. He could have said anything. Oh, you become a partaker of, you know, salvation or Christianity or whatever. These guys, this is Peter. This isn't Paul. And the Hebrews guy, we're not guaranteed that that's Paul or Peter or whatever either. These guys are bearing witness to the same truth. And the interesting thing is here is he says, like verse 3 before that, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, by which you are given these promises, so that you might partake of the divine nature. In other words, all of the things that are required. Let me just read this. In this case here, the moral quality that's being called for of life and godliness and all of those things, the moral quality that we need is not simply a moral quality. It's the divine nature. It's not a moral quality. But we need a moral quality, but no, we don't. We need the divine nature that brings that forth. And the proof of that is how that ends, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What do you think that's talking about? That's the other kind. That's this kind right here. The way to escape it is the divine nature. He has made unto us redemption. He's not just my redeemer. He is my redeemer, but he's not just my redeemer. He is also my redemption. And you would say it like this, and I know my Redeemer liveth in that sense. You know, I know that he lives in me, that it is another nature of another kind of another spirit. And this is what Robert was saying. If you receive another spirit, another kind, you know, he's talking about what, you know, you've left Christ. To him, it's not like, well, you've left Christianity or you're in heresy in this point over here, whatever. You leave Jesus out of this equation, and the Jesus of which we become partakers and change into that same image from glory to glory as we behold him, then you just got another religion. And frankly, this world doesn't need another religion. Yes. Sure. No, I wasn't going to go there, but all right. So one final scripture, and that's over in Galatians chapter 3. Okay, in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. All right, so again, what is it saying? It's talking about redemption, but it's talking about Jesus either being the redemption by receiving a nature that is of another kind, or in this case, Jesus bearing, in other words, personally becoming what needs to be put away. In every case, Jesus is the not just the initiator, folks. He's the actual material substance of the thing. I mean, that's more than eye-opening. That's earth-shattering, if you grasp that. Okay, so what most people do is they do understand Jesus, you know, as a substitute, he became a curse, and he became a curse for me because of the broken law. Well, that's true, but okay, how can I draw it? I'm back to the drawing board. All right, so here we have the law drawn here as in the form of 10 commandments. And here we have the believer trying to serve the Lord. And here we have the cross. All right. What is our understanding of these things right here? All right. Our understanding, and rightly so on one front, but do we finish the picture? It's like starting a painting and leaving half of it undone and then calling it good. Here we have someone who is condemned by the law. They can't measure up. They have broken the law, and by breaking the law, they're cursed, you know. Okay, so they look at that law and they go, oh, Jesus, I need your help. Okay, so here's how Jesus helps. He comes and he becomes a curse for us at Calvary. Do you agree with that? Okay, he becomes a curse for us. All right, so now, all of the curses, because he says, blessed is the man who keeps the full law, da-da-da-da. Remember they were on, you know, Mount Gilboa and Mount, you know, there were two, Ebal and, yeah. And one side was blessings and one side was cursing. And so, if you break the law, then cursed are you. Cursed are you in your home, cursed are you in this, cursed are you in that. So, what does Jesus do? Jesus becomes a curse for us so that now whatever we did wrong in relationship to the law, is those curses will not come upon us. Do you agree with that? Okay. But what does that leave this man right here? Okay, he's been relieved of the consequences of his failures, but he's still of a different kind. He still has another nature. What about the future? Well, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Know ye not, as many as us have were, crucified, we were crucified with Christ, baptized into Christ, we were crucified into Christ. Okay, so my point is, substitution and all of that is wonderful, but it leaves a loose end, a big loose end, wouldn't you say? It leaves us still with the capacity of the old nature to just keep eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and calling it God. Or just flat out sinning and calling, this work good enough to, But there's another verse in Galatians, isn't there? It's not. This isn't the only one. For example, one of them is Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified, not just the curses of the law for me, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives where? In me. That means you're another kind. And just the area we're going from what Robert was just sharing, this just shows that this theme that he was talking about continues, that I am appalled that you are removed from him. Not Christianity. You've left the him of this thing and you leave the him out of it, and it's just you, and you're still of the old kind, and you cleaned up your life, and you stopped this, and you quit doing that, and now you go to church, and you do all this stuff, and you have a few failures here and there, but it's still not Christ. So the Father is, the father's going, you know, he's making Paul right and goes, well, I'm, you know, shocked that you've left him. So then, though he's writing of the substitutionary work of Christ, he goes beyond that. And Galatians 6:14, Galatians 2:20, and several other places where he not only deals with the consequences of our failures, he deals with us. Because the kind is the problem, not the fruit of the kind. Again, John the Baptist says, I mean, think about this. Just think about this. John the Baptist comes and he goes, okay, we're going to go down to the Jordan River and we're going to get you baptized. Okay, so everybody goes, oh, praise God, I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to be saved or whatever, you know what I mean? And so he says, okay, now, you know, when you get down there, you're going to repent of your sins. What does that mean? I'm going to say I'm sorry. That's what most people, you know, I'm going to say I'm sorry. And so then I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to come up and I'm going to go, you know, everything's okay. John didn't think it was okay. He said, man, all I can do is baptize you with water and you repent of what you did wrong. I'm sorry I did that wrong. I'm sorry I did that wrong. I'm sorry I failed there. I broke that one. I broke this. I did wrong. I did wrong. I did wrong. Every one of the people that got wet were still Adam. You know, they were still of another kind. So John, thank God, see, he may not have the capacity in himself, but he knows where to look. And he says, but there's one. How many? One. A whole bunch? One. Coming after me. And he's going to lay the axe to the root. We won't be pulling off fruit anymore of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're not going to be dealing with fruit anymore. All this baptizing stuff, it's fine. But just when he comes, I'm not even worthy to, you know, this guy is going to get to the root of the problem. So Paul sees that. And he writes first about, oh yeah, Jesus did that work. But that work, you cannot sit around and glory in the work of the cross. You know, like Galatians 6:14, same book, just a little later after this, Paul says, God forbid that I glory in anything except the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Wait, the cross that took care of my curses. No, the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified. He put this man up here on the cross. By whom I am crucified unto the world and the world to me. And there is a, you know, I mean, John's talking about Jesus coming. And he didn't just say he's going to lay the axe to the root. He said when he gets here, it's going to be, I mean, the picture I always got was this mountain going up or this hill going up, and there's this road curving that goes up there, and then it goes on down the other side, and then it goes up to another hill and down. There's this road, and it says he's going to make the crooked straight, and he's going to make the high low, and he's going to bring the low up. And I just see him grabbing that road, and the Lord just goes, down, and that road just goes, bang, and the mountains just go, and everything just, we're just flattened. All of our world, all of our beauty, all of our glory that is not Christ. And he says, and you know, but it wasn't, but here's the, and I'll close with this, but it wasn't that he came and made it all straight by grabbing the road and jerking it. He made it all straight by coming. Here's the one. Here's the fulfillment. Here is the fullness. Here is the righteousness. Here's the peace. Here's the joy. Here's the everything has been fulfilled, and everything else is just a shadow now. We need to find the reality of this kind that Jesus is. Father, we ask you to continue to move by your Spirit as we finish out next week. Our last class, we ask you to Just open the Word. Open the Word and open our hearts. And let us see Jesus. Let the veil be rent and may we see Jesus. Let us not any longer be playing with the shadows, ministering by shadows, as those who did when the veil was still up, that the candlestick was a shadow of this and the showbread was a shadow of Christ in this way. Lord, just all shadows. But behind that veil, when the unveiling takes place, it's you there. Never, ever did the Holy of Holies have a shadow of you. Your Shekinah glory was you and you were there. Help us to see Him that is the fullness, Father, the fulfillment. And may just seeing that just bring everything else down. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We're dismissed. Love you guys on Skype. Thanks for being with us.